Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. I hope this program will be a blessing to you as we go through God's Word. And today, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to pick up where I ended off last week on the golden chain of grace, the golden chain of grace that's found in the book of Romans. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 8, if you'd like to follow along. And last week, I spent most of my time on verse 28, which is a verse that most people quote, but few people know the real meaning of. And so I urge you to get that message. You can order it from our church, go to our website and download it or listen to it or get a copy of it, however you'd like to do that. But it's called The Golden Chain of Grace, Part 1. This is Part 2. And I'll go ahead and read verse 20, and I'm not going to spend much time on this because I did a whole message basically on that. But it says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And there I made the point that God is working all things together. It doesn't say all things are good there. It says God's working all things together for good. And that's for the good of his people, those whom he saves by his grace. That's his elect. We learn later on down here in Romans 8:33, they are those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. They are those who are justified based upon his righteousness imputed to them. They are those who are called. He says, who are the called. Now, the called there refers to the calling of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, wherein the Holy Spirit makes the gospel the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you hear the true gospel, not a false gospel now. A false gospel won't do it. Lies will not bring sinners into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So if you hear the true gospel and you come to believe it unto salvation, then you can attribute that not to your own will or your own goodness. You attribute it to God. It's God who makes the difference. You are one of the called by the power of God. Man left to himself will not believe it. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. He cannot understand them. He cannot believe them safely because they're spiritually discerned. And we don't have, by nature, we're spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. I brought that out last week. I bring it out just about every message. That men and women born, fallen in Adam and born dead in spiritual deadness, depraved, will not believe God unless God sends the Spirit, through Christ, sends the Spirit to give us a new heart. You must be born again. And so then in verse 29, he begins what I call the golden chain of grace. And listen to the links that are in this golden chain. First, it says, for whom he did foreknow. Now, what is the foreknowledge of God? A lot of people are confused about that. Many people say when they talk about it, says after that, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And there's a lot of people today who claim to be Christian who do not understand and do not like, even hate the doctrine of predestination. And I know that. I used to be one of them until God turned my heart. And you understand now that God is revealing himself. You know, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is the revelation of who God is in reality, of who we are in reality. God, the holy and just one, who is merciful and loving and gracious, man who is the sinful, depraved, spiritually dead, human being fallen in Adam, who cannot save himself, who has no works that are good enough to save himself, and has no will to go to God unless God gives us that will, makes us willing in the day of his power. And it tells us the truth about Christ and salvation by the grace of God in him. And what we have here is the revelation of who God is. And it says here in verse 29, for whom God did foreknow. Now, God is a God of foreknowledge. But you know how most people look at foreknowledge? They make God a crystal ball gazer. Or what they call the telescope of time. That God looked into his crystal ball and he saw the future. Or God looked down through the telescope of time and saw the future. Now let me tell you listen, you're not going to find anything like that describing the God of this book from Genesis to Revelation. God is no crystal ball gazer. God is not looking down through a telescope of time and learning things. The Bible says God is omniscient. He knows all. The Bible says that God, in Isaiah 46, in verse 9, he declares the end from the beginning. Now, what does that mean? Well, think about it this way. I can declare the beginning from the end. You can, too. For example, today. You know how this day has begun. You were asleep, you woke up, you got up, made breakfast, do what you do. You know how it begins. But you don't know how it's going to end. I don't know what's going to happen a split second from this time. But God, he declares the end from the beginning. It's not just that God knows the future. God has determined the future. That's what the book says here. And that's mind-boggling. I can't really explain all to you about that. And I'm not going to try to justify the works of God. Somebody says, well, if God does that, why didn't he change this, change that? Well, let me ask you this. If God looked down through a telescope of time and he saw something bad that's going to happen, why didn't he change that? Doesn't he have the power to do so? He's omnipotent. So you see, those arguments, throw them out the window. This is what God says. This is the mind of God right here. And he says, for whom he did foreknow. And that foreknowledge is not God seeing into the future and learning anything. God's immutable. God does not change. He doesn't learn anything. He didn't have to. He is the embodiment of all knowledge. And he declares the end from the beginning. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's who God is. And foreknow here means that he foreordained it. That's what it means. How do you know that? It says he also did predestinate. Those whom God foreknows, those whom he foreordained unto salvation. That's what he's talking about. How do you know? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, who's going to be conformed to the image of Christ? Who's going to be Christ-like? Only those who are saved by the grace of God, washed clean from all their sins in the blood of Christ, robed in his righteousness imputed, charged to them, called and given spiritual life from above, called into the kingdom, preserved unto glory, and who go to be with him and live with him forever. That's who he's talking about here. He established that back in verse 28. We know that all things work together for them that love God. If you love God, that means God has saved you by his grace, and he's put that love in your heart. Romans 5 says that over here in Romans 5, it says that the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God in our hearts. And that's what he's done. He makes it, he puts it in us. Verse 5 of Romans 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. If you love God at all, no sinner here on earth, no sinner saved by grace, loves God perfectly. We will one day when we leave this vile body and go to be with Christ. But we do love him. And we know we love him because we run to him pleading the blood and righteousness of Christ. We believe in Christ. No sinner by nature loves God. That's the gift of God. And so he's talking about believers here. He's talking about his elect. I'll show you that in just a moment. A lot of people, they don't like the doctrines of foreknowledge and predestination and the elect. But the Bible teaches them. This is the Word of God. This is what God says of Himself. And I always tell people, I say, if you want to argue with somebody about that, you take it up with God. He's the one who wrote this book, not me. So He says, for whom He did foreknow, whom God foreordained, whom He foreloved, you could say. Not those whom He hates with that righteous indignation. People, preachers will say, well, God doesn't hate anybody. Well, God says He does. In Psalm 5, He hates all workers of iniquity. Somebody asked me one time about that. I think it's Psalm 5, 5. God, the Lord hates all workers of iniquity. And they said, well, how in the world can He love any of us? Because aren't we all workers of iniquity? Don't we all fall short? And the answer is yes. But what it's talking about in Psalm 5 there is those to whom the Lord imputes iniquity, with whom He charges iniquity. His people, whom He foreloved and foreordained, who are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, He does not charge them with their sin, with their iniquity, because He charged their iniquity to Christ. David recognized that over in Psalm 32 when he said in verse 2, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I'll deal with that in a minute. And now over here in Romans 8 in our text, in verse 33, listen to what it says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. The ones that he's speaking of in Psalm 5:5 that he hates all workers, are those who do not have Christ as their Savior, their substitute, their surety, their representative, their Redeemer, their Lord. They go through this life in unbelief and die in their sins. Remember what Christ told the Pharisees? He said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. But God's people don't die in their sins. They die in Christ and appear before God in Christ. That's what Paul was expressing in his own desire when he said, that I may know Him and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. We receive by faith. That's in Philippians 3. So back to Romans 8:29, the golden chain, the first link is God's foreknowledge, God's foreordination. And the second thing is God's predestinating purpose. And what is it? To glorify Himself in the salvation of His chosen people in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is none other than God manifest in the flesh and based on His righteousness. And so he says He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image, the likeness of His Son. We're going to be like Christ. Now that doesn't mean we'll be equal to Christ. That just means that in our character, our conduct, our thoughts, we'll be sinlessly perfect. As we are legally now, if you're a believer, as you are legally now, righteousness imputed to you, perfect in Christ, the Bible says that in Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's talking about our legal perfection and righteousness in Christ. Well, one day that legal perfection will be matched with our moral, spiritual perfection in us when we die and go to be with the Lord, or when He comes back to take us up with Him, those who believe in Him. So to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, Christ is the firstborn in that He has the preeminence among all the brethren. You know, He calls His people. The people of God go by many names and descriptions in the Bible. They're called the elect, the chosen, the redeemed of the Lord. They're called the church, which means called out ones. Doesn't mean a denomination. It means those who believe in Christ, called out by the Spirit to believe in Him. They're called His sheep. They're called His brethren. And in His brethren, He's the firstborn. He has the preeminence. He is the leader. He is the Lord. And He's the firstborn among many brethren in that He was the first raised, resurrected from the dead. Now, I know He wasn't the first raised unto life. Lazarus was raised. Others were raised in the old. But the resurrection life, the resurrection glory, Christ was the first one to be resurrected unto glory. and all his brethren will follow. The scripture says, all whom God chose, all whom God foreordained and predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, they will be raised unto life too. They cannot perish. Listen, friend, there is no way that any person for whom Christ died and was buried and arose again the third day can perish. Why? Because he's the firstborn among many brethren. He didn't die to save everybody without exception. The scripture says that. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. The Bible says that he purchased his church with his own blood. Who's the church? Sinners saved by grace, called out by the Spirit unto Christ. And I know why people hate that, because they think they deserve to be saved, and none of us deserve it. God would be well within his just rights if he sent all of us to hell. But the thing about it is, God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. But his mercy, grace, and love are in Christ. Run to Christ. Flee to Christ. You might say, well, what if I wasn't foreordained or predestinated? What if I wasn't chosen? You don't have to think that way, because you're not God. The secret things belong to the Lord. The revealed things belong to you. But just because the revealed things belong to you, don't use them to deny what God does reveal about himself. So go back to verse 29. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ has the preeminence. Christ is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He earned that right as God manifest in the flesh. He's always been that way in his deity, the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. We can't explain that. He's always had all authority. But as God-man, as the Savior of his people, as the surety and the Savior, the Redeemer of his people, the Preserver of his people, he earned that right. Philippians 2 tells us that. That God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord. He's Lord of all. And he earned that right by his obedience unto death on the cross to put away the sins of his people as they were charged to him. And so it says he is the firstborn among many brethren. Now look at verse 30 of Romans 8. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, those whom he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, them he also called. Now, how do I know I've been foreordained, predestined? I've been called. And how do I know I've been called? Well, it's the calling of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 speaks of that. When it talks about the preaching of the cross, it's foolishness to them that believe, that who are perishing, but it's the wisdom and power of God to those who believe. Do you believe the true gospel? I'm not just talking about anything anybody preaches that calls themselves a church. But I'm talking about the true gospel wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. I quote this verse all the time, Romans 1:16 and 17, which says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also, or the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, from knowledge revealed to knowledge received, from faith to faith, as it is written, the justified shall live by faith. And what is it to live by faith? It doesn't mean that we live just by wishing something to be true or believing something. We live by looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. So how do I know I've been foreordained, that I've been predestined? I've been called. I believe the gospel. The gospel is a calling. It's the power of God to bring his people into the fold. And Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me, and they won't follow another. And they hear the preaching of God's grace, the preaching of the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. It is finished. The gospel is not a message that tells you what you must do in order to be saved. It's a message that tells you what Christ has done in order to save his people from their sins. Now, believe it. You say, well, nobody's going to be saved without belief. That's right, because God gives them the gift of faith to receive Christ. And he gives it to them through the preaching of the gospel and in the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. You must be born again. Do you know, if you're not born again by the Spirit, you can't even see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Oh, you can hear what I'm saying, but it will not be valuable to you. It will not be life and death to you. When this message becomes so valuable that you'll lay aside every other weight and every other thing that draws your attention, and you come to Christ, move away from everything else, just come to Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But man by nature will not believe. So what are we to do? We're to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Well, go back to verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Now, what is it to be justified? Well, first of all, to be justified is to be made right with God. To be justified means to have a right relationship with God. To be justified means I'm not condemned by God. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, how do we know who's in Christ Jesus? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And walking after the flesh, there can be a religious person trying to be saved, like Cain was, bringing his works. That's walking after the flesh. Walking after the Spirit means walking by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to Him, resting in Him, pleading His blood, pleading His righteousness. To be justified is to be forgiven of all my sins, because God did not impute my sins to me. He didn't charge them to me. He charged them to Christ. And Christ came and took my place and died under the judgment of God to put away my sins, to pay the debt in full. That's what he was doing on the cross. My sins were charged to him. And his righteousness that he worked out on that cross was charged to me. And that's what it is to be justified, to be forgiven of all my sins by the mercy and grace of God on a just ground. And the only just ground is the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it's to be declared righteous in God's sight, not by my works, not because I made a right decision, but because Christ died and was buried and arose again the third day. Christ is my righteousness. Over in the book of Jeremiah, two times Jeremiah identifies the promised Messiah as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Christ was made sin, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. That means the sins of his people were imputed to him, charged to him, accounted to him. He was as the surety of God's people before the world began, he took upon himself the responsibility of paying the sin debt of all whom God foreloved, foreordained, predestinated, chose. And in time he came and died under the justice of God on the cross. And he finished it. He completed it. He paid it. He said, it is finished. John 19:30. And in that death, not only did he put away the sin debt of his people, he brought forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value. How do you know he did that? Because he didn't stay in the grave. He arose the third day. He ascended unto the Father. Righteousness had been established. And that righteousness that's imputed to the people of God demands that they be given life from the dead. And so when you read this back here in Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. They were justified before they were called. But what he's saying here is this is not a time order thing here. What he's saying here, this is the whole of salvation. This is the golden link, see, of grace. And he's saying there that the way that we know we've been justified before God, that we've been, that our sins were imputed, charged to Christ, that he died for my sins and put them away, redeemed me by his blood, and gave me his righteousness, which had been imputed to me. The only way I know that is by my calling. The just shall live by faith. Those who have been justified by Christ, how do you know they've been justified? Because they live spiritually by faith. God-given faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we live by faith. We live resting in Christ, looking to Christ, pleading the blood and righteousness of Christ. And so he says in Romans 8:30, those whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, if you've been foreordained, predestinated for salvation, you know that because when you're called, anybody who's in unbelief cannot claim any of the benefits of this golden chain of grace. The only way we can rightly and biblically and assuredly claim these benefits is if we've been called, and if we've been called, we believe in Christ, the glorious person, the finished work of Christ. We've come to God admitting our sinfulness and depravity. God, like that old publican, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I cannot save myself. And if we've been called, that's evidence we've been justified and the assurance that we will be glorified. There's the last link in this chain. We've been glorified in Christ. Christ is already glorified. And he's the representative, the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of his people. And when he arose, we arose legally. One day we will arise spiritually and in every way and go to be with him. That's the evidence, the assurance of glorification. That's how we have assurance of salvation. We're looking to Christ. If you look within yourself to find a reason to be assured of your salvation, you're looking at the wrong place. You will either have a false assurance, a self-righteous assurance, or you will go into despair. That's right. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, there's no self-righteousness there. It's all him. There's no despair there. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.